Guys, I had a really cool opportunity a few months ago to meet a guy who when I look at him and I see the story of his life, I see someone who does fear God and serves him faithfully. A man named Jim. I got to go over to the country of Romania. It's over in Eastern Europe. You know, you take a flight out of LAX and you fly all the way to Amsterdam, and then you have a long layover, and then you fly to Bucharest, and you're in the country of Romania. And we got to see what an organization that he started does in the country of Romania. He started an organization called Heart to Heart. And Heart to Heart is an organization that works with orphans in the country of Romania. Now, the reason he went there is there's an unbelievable amount of orphans in that country. You know, a very high percentage. And it's an interesting story how that actually came to be. You know, in the 80s, before many of you were born, there was a dictator, and his name was Ceausescu. And Ceausescu was a pretty bad guy. Much like Saul, he started out kind of well. Everyone was excited about him coming into power back in the day. But then, much like Saul, he started to think only about himself. And he became infatuated with power. And one of the things that he did is he wanted to make the entire country young. He wanted a whole bunch of young people. So he instituted a law that everyone in the country, if they were married, they had to have five kids, at least five kids. So that was the minimum amount of kids to be had. And so what that did is it made a population boost to the country. And there was so many people. But Ceausescu eventually, because of his arrogance, because of the decisions that he made, he was run out of power. And so when he was run out of power, that meant that there was hundreds of thousands of young people who were born because of this mandate. And so when he left, the country fell. I mean, it fell into shambles. Romania was, their money crashed. There wasn't enough food to go around. It was hard to find even water. So all these people who had five kids, they couldn't take care of them. They couldn't take care of their own children. And with that, they had to start giving them over to orphanages. And there was all these state-run orphanages that popped up all over Romania. And all of a sudden, hundreds of thousands of students, and kids younger than you, some your same age, have nowhere to go except to live in these bunkhouses, basically. Just room after room after room, crammed full of people your age with no parents, and the state is taking care of them. So when Jim went over there, he got to see what was happening. You know, Jim, at that time, he was building houses. He was a contractor down in Southern California, San Diego area. And he made his way over to Romania, and he saw what was happening with all of these orphanages. And he came back to the States after seeing that, and man, we got to do something. And started having conversations, and what can we do about this issue of all of these orphans who have no one to take care of them other than the state, and the state is so overrun that they don't know what to do with all of them. And as having conversations, it started to dawn on him that we need to do something, turned into obedience and turned into what God wanted, and that was I need to do something, and my family needs to do something about it. So Jim started the organization of Heart to Heart, an organization that goes into the state-run orphanages in Bucharest and some of the outlying villages around Bucharest and works with the orphans, bringing in the gospel. Not only that, bringing in education, teaching them how to read and what it looks like to know how to do math, stuff like that, just stuff that we take for granted. So they began bringing that stuff in, and throughout the years, they've been there for quite a while now, but throughout the years, they've been able to see as orphans from babies all the way up, and we're going to see a little bit of that here in a second, but they've been able to work with so many different people, so many, and all because Jim was obedient, because he saw a need, and he knew that he had to do something about it, and instead of King Saul saying, someone else can do it, someone else can do it, I'm too scared. He stood up and he served the Lord. And he said, I'll do it. And that is how Heart to Heart came to be. When we got to go over there, we actually filmed a lot of it. I want you guys to see this video of our time in Romania and our time seeing the ministry of Heart to Heart and going into orphanages as well.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? Well, that's got to be one of the best welcomes I've had in a long time. I'm really glad to be here with you. I flew in from Romania on Sunday, so if I fall asleep on the stage, somebody wake me up. Promise? Will you do that? All right, gotcha. Okay, hey, what I want to do is just try to encourage you guys about missions. Now, if you've been in church as long as I have, you've probably sat through a whole lot of missions things, and tell me what, are they boring or what? Yeah, they are. Okay, well, I can promise you we'll try to not keep this too boring. I want to tell you a little bit about somebody who was actually younger than you, who made an incredible difference in the kids' lives in Romania. And you know, so often you hear people saying, oh, you got to go and do things for God and go out and do mission work and all that stuff. And you're saying to me, Jim, get real. I can't go anywhere without getting my mom to give me a ride. Is that right? Yeah, so you know, really, what can you do, huh? You know, we're telling you to do all this stuff, and you know, let's get our expectations right. So, I want to tell you a story about a little girl named Chloe. Now, Chloe called me on the telephone one day, and I answered, and here's this little sweet little girl on the phone saying, "I want to know about orphans in Romania. Tell me all about them." So I'm starting to talk to this little girl, and pretty soon I say, "Chloe, how old are you?" And she says, "I'm 8." And I'm going, "Oh, great. You know, here you are. What am I doing on the phone with an 8-year-old? You know, I got important things in life to do." So I talked to Chloe for a while, and pretty soon I got this feeling that this girl was really serious about wanting to help the orphans in Romania. So as we talked and talked, she finally said, "Oh, I just got to come and help. How can I come and help the orphans?" And I went, "Well, Chloe, you might have to grow up a little bit first, you know. Either that or you'd have to convince your parents to bring you." And she says, "That's it. I'll talk to my mom." And she says, "I'll see you later." And she hangs up the phone, and I'm thinking, "Whew, that's over. That's done, you know. Her mom will never go for that." About a week later, I get this telephone call. It's Chloe's mom. And she's going, what's going on with my daughter in Romania? She wants us to go to Romania. What is this all about? So I talked with Chloe's mom for a long time and told her all about it and everything. And finally she said, "Wow, I'll have to talk to my husband." Now, guys, when moms and dads say, "I'll have to talk to the other one," you know what that means, right? That's like, it's done, it's over, right? You've seen that, huh? Yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking, hey, this is over and done. I'm back to work and not thinking anything. About a week later, I get a phone call. It's Chloe's dad. He's a little more direct to the point. "What's this going to cost me?" So he started talking all the nuts and bolts and how much it's going to cost and how do you raise all that kind of money. And oh, it was just, you know, it was a really, we get to the end of that conversation. He says, "Wow, that's really expensive. I got to think about it." And end of conversation, I'm going, "Hey, you know, when someone says, I've got to think about it, what does that mean?" No. Yeah, you've heard it too, haven't you? Me too. So I'm thinking, okay, this is over and this is done. About 2 weeks later, Chloe's dad calls me up and he says, "Okay, we're ready to go. And we're bringing a team from our church of 10 people. I'm taking the phone, whacking it on the table, going, "Did I hear you right? Is this phone broken?" He says, "Nope, we're bringing a team of 10. I said, "How in the world do you go from I got to think about it to I got a team of 10? He said, "Well, Chloe has been talking to everyone in church about orphans in Romania. It is the only topic that ever happens in our house anymore. We are fed up to hear with orphans. We got to get this over with, and so we're coming to Romania." Chloe has since brought a team from her church for the last 14 years. That church has packed 8 containers of clothing and medical supplies and food and things that the kids need over there because one kid your age was obedient and said, "I'm going to do what God tells me to do."
Don't underestimate the power that you have because of your age. Paul talked to Timothy in the Bible, and he says, don't let anybody put you down for your age. And I'm going to say the same thing to you. You can do absolutely anything that God calls you to do. Don't let your age be a block in between, because there is amazing things you can do. Amazing things you can do. In a while, after lunchtime, I'm going to be out on the deck there by the human being, and I would love for you to come and talk to me about what you can do. I've got these little cards where I've made pictures of some of our kids out there. We're sending them to camp. In fact, I just had a camp last week with our kids in Romania. Not as big as you guys. We had 68 kids, and it was fantastic. 14 of those kids accepted Christ. Is that... What makes that really amazing is in Romania, when a kid accepts Christ, they become a cult member because they consider Christians as a cult. So that's a big decision to make. And that's a huge thing for those kids. But hey, come and talk to me if you are an adult leader or something. I've got packets for you guys too that I'd like to show you. But come and support our kids. I have these little cards with their pictures. It's $10. I'm going to sell you a card. I want you to pray for that kid, and that $10 helps them get to camp just like you've come. So, hey, come out and see us, and we're going to have some more video, and what I want you to see is some of the lives of the kids that we have changed, have been able to have God touch their lives, have changed over the time. So take a watch.
Oh, that was such a cool trip. So awesome to be able to spend time with Isabella and Sandel, who you saw there. It's an interesting thing. I was just sitting back there with Jim, and Jim leaned over to me and said, Sandel, the second guy we saw in there, he actually graduated from school last week, and now he's going to start going out and working in a church. And it's pretty crazy. And I think what's so great about that is, I mean, that's someone they knew. They knew Sandel when he was really young. And to be able to teach him and to show him the gospel and to show him who Jesus is. And now he's going and he's giving back to the other orphans in Romania. I think sometimes, and Jim hit on this well as he was talking about Chloe, a lot of times we look at you guys, and it's a fault of maybe some of the older people, is we think, well, you guys are just going to goof off, and maybe you're not really going to take anything that we say seriously, and you know, you're just young. But Chloe kind of proves that it doesn't matter if you're young. What matters is how you answer the call and how you're going to serve God faithfully. You know, there's another story that Jim tells, and I'm actually going to ask him to come back up because it's a really cool story of another person who's actually younger than you guys were when this happened, who saw a need and realized that she had to rise to the occasion and that she had to trust God to make it happen. Jim, tell us a little bit about Anna, I believe.
Yes, there's this young girl named Anna, and she was watching as we were loading containers of clothing and used clothing that we'd collect and stuff to go over to the orphan kids, and we're going through all the clothes and sorting and stuff, and she came up to me and she said, there's no underwear. What do they do? And I said, well, most of the kids just don't have any. And she said, well, that's not good. And I said, yeah, well, It's kind of fortunate that we don't get used underwear, but it would sure be good if we had underwear for the kids. And she kind of thought about that, and she went back to her school, public school, first year in junior high. She walks in, she goes to the student council and says, I want to start a drive for underwear for orphan kids. And I was thinking, that's pretty brave, but I'm not going to expect much out of this. In 2 weeks, they collected 750 pounds of new underwear. Now, that would more than fill this stage. It was a lot of underwear. So we're vacuum packing and cramming this stuff into bags and getting it ready to go over to Romania, and I'm paying a ton of extra baggage, you know, as I fly over there. And we hand it out to the kids, and some of the little boys would get their Spider-Man underwear. They were so excited, they're putting them on the outside of their pants. And it's like, You know, it was a wonderful time. So I'm flying home from that trip, and I'm sitting in my seat, and a guy comes and sits next to me, and we're talking about, you know, what we're doing, and I just said, yeah, I just got back from, you know, taking underwear to orphans in Romania. And the guy looks at me and says, you need underwear? And I go, well, yeah, it's one of the things, you know, kids need that kind of stuff, and they seem to outgrow it, and, you know. And he reaches in his pocket, hands me a card, and he says, when you get home, give me a call. And I look at his card, it was the president of Jockey Underwear. Jockey Underwear has since sent us truckload after truckload of underwear year after year.
Appreciate it. I love that story. That's such a cool story. And it's all because Anna, who's was sixth grade, decided that she was going to do something. And I think that's why when we look at you guys, we look at people who are going to take our places in the future. People who, you know, we want for you to be the leaders, the people who are going to fear God and serve Him faithfully. I think for me, one of the things that I've realized, I've had the opportunity to travel around the world a few times. And with that, I really like photography. So that's one of the things that I'm interested in. And how I use that is, and I didn't realize as it was happening, but whenever I go to a country, if I travel with Hume, which is a lot of fun, I'll go and I'll take my camera and I'll be taking photos. And I'll usually take my camera and I'll hand it off to someone in that country. You know, someone that I'm just hanging out with, and I'll be like, hey, you go take pictures. Like, I'm done taking pictures. You go take pictures. And what that does is it bridges a gap. When I talk to them about what I'm interested in, and then they're interested in that too, because they're like, well, what is this? I've never used a camera before. You give it to them, and then you start having fun. You start having a conversation with them. And eventually, they're going to be like, well, why are you here? And I've had so many of these conversations of, why are you here? Why are you in this country? And I'll say, well, I just want to learn more about you guys. Like, I came because I'm with an organization that what we do is we share who Jesus is. And that conversation, all because I handed my camera off and said, go take some pictures, it turns into a conversation about Jesus. And it's just because I'm interested in something. And here's the deal. Every single one of you are interested in something. I don't know what that is. Maybe you are a phenomenal soccer player. Maybe you are fantastic at an instrument. You love to draw. Maybe you're just a talker, which I think a lot of you guys are. What would it look like if you went to another country? And what would it look like even if you went into your schools? Or you were out in your city with your parents. What does it look like if you start striking up those conversations? Maybe you're at soccer and you're with your teammates, and somehow that you bridge that gap of not just soccer, but why you're playing soccer, to glorify God. And you can start having those conversations about who Jesus is, and you can be missionaries in your own towns, but also maybe one day that means being a missionary outside of the country, doing what Jim did. He had a great life down in Southern California, but he said, I need to take up the call because no one else is doing it. And he went to Romania and started Heart to Heart. I'm not saying all of you guys are going to end up doing that, but I have to believe in a room this size that some of you will see what's happening around the world. You'll see that people need Jesus because Jesus brings hope to their lives. And you will say, like David this morning, I'll do it. You know, now is the time as a junior hire to start practicing the habits of a missionary, to start practicing the habits of a disciple. I think so often it's easy to get caught up in the fun and knowing that you are younger and that you're a kid and that you're just in school, but now is the time to start seeing what you can do. Many of your churches partner with organizations around the world, or maybe organizations even within their own city, if that's a food bank, or that could be a shelter of some kind. I want to challenge you guys to ask your leaders and ask your churches what those things are and how you can be involved, how you can be doing something that is going to help that ministry. You know, giving of your time is a great way to practice the habit of being a missionary. Another one would be, well, praying. So many missionaries around the world covet your prayers. They need you guys to back them up. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the people who band together in unity. We have so many churches represented here and so many organizations represented around the world. But as a whole, as believers in who Jesus is and who he said he is, we believe that. That means that we are a united front of people who want to see the gospel go out among the nations. You know, that's what Jesus said. Go and make disciples of all nations. That is what Heart to Heart does. They're making disciples. People who understand what the gospel is, they understand that there's no hope outside of Jesus, that we are bad kings. We are awful kings. But when we replace ourselves on the throne and we make Jesus the king of our life and we put him on that throne, that is when the world changes. And that is what I want for you guys and what I know that you guys can do. Because when we look out from the stage, when your leaders look out from the stages back at home, they don't see just a whole bunch of kids. They see a whole bunch of people who can make a difference in the world for who Jesus is and what he's done for them. But my question to you is, what is that thing that you like? What is that thing that maybe you're passionate about? What is that thing that your church is involved in? And how can you be involved in it? Because we need people who take action because of what they believe in, not people who sit back and let others do it for them like Saul did. You will all, in some way or another, be leaders someday. And many of you are leaders even now. How are you using that gift? How are you using your abilities? You know, in a second, I'm gonna release you guys out. We're gonna go spend some time with our cabins. And what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to spend some time in prayer as a cabin. I want you to pray for the ministry of Heart to Heart and to pray for the country of Romania and the orphans there in Romania. But also, I want you to start a dialogue. What are those things that you could be doing now that could give back to missions? And that could be missions globally. That could be missions locally. Things in your own city. But what are those things now that you can do? And what are the ministries that your churches partner with? Because if you guys are involved now, gosh, just imagine what you could be doing in 10, 15, 20 years. You guys could change lives. You could have the opportunity of bringing Jesus in, and lives will be changed because you decided to fear God and serve him faithfully, considering the great things he's done for you. Guys, after that time of prayer for Romania and global missions, what we're going to do is we're going to go, the bell's going to ring, and when you hear that bell ring, you're going to start getting ready for a little thing today called a recreation, and it's going to be awesome. Today, we've got some super spirit day. So if you have a costume today, if you've got a suit of armor or something, when that bell rings, go put that on, and then you're going to come straight back up to the chapel. It is going to be a blast. I do want to remind you that today, after lunch, 1:15, Jim's going to be out on the deck. He's going to have those cards, and those cards are a really cool reminder of how to pray for maybe the student that you picked, but also the ministry of Heart to Heart. But that money, like Jim said, it's going to be $10. That money's going to go back to Heart to Heart to provide a camp like what they did last week, but also to provide birthday presents and Christmas presents to the orphans in Romania. It's kind of crazy how we don't really think about that sometimes, that orphans don't really get they don't get presents. And so it's a cool way to partner with them. And go talk to Jim today. He's going to be out there. He wants to share more with you about Heart to Heart. He wants to talk to you about how you can be involved, how your church can be involved, but also just to encourage you guys on what you guys can be doing back at home. Hey, I'm going to pray. As soon as that, we're going to go to those cabin prayer times and then recreation after that. But let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just who you are and what you've done for us. God, I love that what Jesus did for us on the cross compels us to let other people know about it. God, that our lives are drastically changed because of the hope we find in Jesus and the realization that our sins are taken away and that we are seen as perfect in your eyes through the covering of Jesus, God. I pray that these young men and women, as they go out today and as they go home later on this week, that they will begin to see that, God, you have a calling on their life. And that could look like business, or that can look like so many other things, sports or teachers, all kinds of things, God. But where they go is, their call is to spread you, is to take up what you said of making disciples of all nations. God, put it on the hearts of these students that they will be able to have a passion for your word, a passion to share your gospel. Father, we pray for today. We pray for a fun and a safe day, but just overall, God, just a day that glorifies you and points back to you. Father, we love you, praise you in your name. Amen. All right, head out with your...